Church, let's pray.
Father, this morning we pray and ask of you, Lord, that you consecrate our hearts, open our spiritual eyes, our spiritual eyes and also the spiritual eyes of our hearts, Lord, to receive your word with gladness. Pray that your word, Lord, that even as I speak to your people this morning, Lord, translate, Lord, that Logos word into Rhema word, that you be spirit, Lord, to our people here. Lord, that this message that I share today will minister to individuals in this church, Lord, having all kinds of struggles. And I pray, Father, that even as I speak, their hearts will be encouraged. And I pray, Father, that truly I will glorify you in teaching your word this morning. I give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. All right. Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, can see or not? Ask your neighbor. You can see that I have no glasses. Ah. It's very weird, you know, really. Well, about 3 months ago, senior pastor says, Jeff, the month of March, I want you to speak on a subject to tell the people that we need to see things from the spiritual angle, from the eternal angle. So I said, okay. And then I was praying through and see what to speak. And then, lo and behold, I have to do my cataract operation. And I remember vividly after the operation, the doctor says, okay, then I open your eyes and you see, can see or not? I say, can see, everything is white. I've never seen white so white, you know, after the cataract operation. And so it's so wonderful to see. Now I can see you so clearly. Last time when I preached here, I got to wear my glasses to see far. Now I can see far. I can see who's using handphone now, who's not paying attention, who's taking a nap, you know, I can see. So don't play. Up there also I can see, very clear, okay? But I can't see near. So afterwards, from time to time, I now want to wear my glasses. Hey, back to square one, okay? I don't see far or see near. Now I can't see you really. But this is so interesting. Can you see or not? Well, let me show you this. I want you to read this portion of scripture that I will be teaching on today on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Okay, so I'd like you to... Yes, now we read 4, 18, but now I want you to read 4, 16 and 17 and 18 together. Okay, 1, 2, 3, read. Yes. So it says here that what is seen is temporary, verse 18. But what is unseen is eternal. A bit of quiz here for you to look at the screen. Now, who can you see something here or not? Turn to your neighbor and say, can see or not? Now, everybody see? What do you think you can see on the screen? You can't see. If you look very carefully, you can see a panda bear. A panda. So how many of you can see? Can see. Then how come they can see, you cannot see? How come they can see, you cannot see? Very interesting. It's a panda. Alright? It's a panda. So those who can see, tell the people. Like they're like, see the eye there? You see the ears there? Yeah. Okay, let's do another one. Can see or not? What can you see? Wow, you know, you're all very fast. Alright? You see the young Jeffrey Go about 50 years ago? The middle-aged Jeffrey Go, and now you see the real Jeffrey Go. All right. I see what you see. Can see or not? Then another one, very interesting. Here you can see three numbers. This one, yesterday I tried, all can see. You can see or not? Some you still cannot see. All right, what is the first number here? This one. Number 8, so clever. How about this one? 29, so clever. This one? 57, so clever. All can see, who still cannot see. I want to say to you that really, at the end of the day, we need to see what God wants us to see. You know, many of the things that we all see with our eyes are temporary. And what are some of the things that we see that is temporary? Temporal. If you recognize any of these things, that means you are quite old, all right? use a Nokia. I think years ago when your mom and dad used a Nokia, what phone do you use? Nokia. Wow. Nokia. Turn to your neighbor and say, Nokia died already. Tell your neighbor. They're trying to revive it, okay? And there's a Walkman. Your father's and mother's time. They all put the Walkman over here. They walk. They hear music. That was the Walkman. And me, as a trainer, I use VHS video. This one, you know, thick one like that. And then when I'm teaching, I got to bring a whole bag, nothing but this video. So thick, I tell you. And then it breaks sometime, you know. But today, everything is in a CD. Thumb drive. Amazing. And then this one, typewriter. Have you heard typewriter? Some of you say, huh? Typewriter? What typewriter? This is a typewriter today. And those of you who knows the brand called Olivetti. 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 That means you're quite old also. And last time got typing school, you know. 45 words per minute, 50 words per minute, 55 words per minute. But where are the typing schools today? All closed down. My two kids, they have never gone typing school, but they type. I don't know how they do it. The quick brown frog jump over the lazy dog. Last time you do this. But now they just... I don't know how they do it. Amazing. So no more typewriters. But Olivetti, very stupid. If they had gone into producing Olivetti word processors, they will still be around. But people, stupid people, they carry on producing typewriters, which are only meant for the museum today. Okay? And then Kodak film. Kodak. Last time when I travel, I will bring rolls of Kodak film in a whole plastic bag. All Kodak. 24 shots, 36 shots. And then when you will take a picture, just when you are taking a picture, somebody passed by. All of them. Block the picture. Then you still got to print. Huh? Waste money. Now digital. Take a lot, but delete. Kodak died too. Alright. Now, not only products died. Not only products are no more. We also find places too in Singapore. They are temporary. Look at Clifford Pier. And those of you who remember, this is Clifford Pier. Now it's a hotel. And that is Raffles Institution. All right. I come from Raffles Institution. Turn to your neighbor, say, he hao lian again. Tell your neighbor. My school, no more there. Now you go Raffles City. All right. And how about this? Van Cleef Aquarium. I used to bring my kids to Van Cleef Aquarium. They are just the water tank, you see the fish. Now you go to Southeast Asia Aquarium. Huge! It's like Roosevelt. And National Stadium. I did many National Day parades there when I was in MINDEF. And then there's a Yao Han Katong. I better you remember Yao Han Katong. Later on became IKEA. Remember? See, forgot already. But all these are temporary. So places are also temporary. People are also temporary. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are temporary. Tell your neighbor. We try our best to live as long as possible, but temporary. And I still remember during my time, the band, the Carpenters, best band. Now do I talk to my son and say, the Carpenters, he say, make what furniture? Then I say about the Beatles. My daughter says, Beatle? What insect is that? You see, times have changed, groups have. So there's all these things that our eyes can see, they are all temporal. They are all temporary. And you know, look at this. What do your eyes see? Everybody read after, read this. One, two, read. Oh, so clever. Opportunity is nowhere, nowhere lah. Opportunity is now here, now here. Huh? And so this morning, as you can see, we have vigorously promoted the drama. You won't believe how many rehearsals they went through. When you are relaxing at home, they are rehearsing. Rehearse and rehearse. You know, you do the first rehearsal, okay, but by the time you do the fifth one, a chin sin, I tell you. But they do it. Why? They want to glorify God by putting up a good drama. But for who? For what? And we hope that you will do your part, church. That even as this drama is being put up, can you please support it? See every opportunity you have this week and the next few weeks before the event. Ask God to open your spiritual eyes. Lord, so I can see this individual, that I can reach out for Christ by inviting this for the drama. We must continue to do this. Opportunity is everywhere. It's now here. Even as you go back to work tomorrow, to school, university,
Ask God, God, open my spiritual eyes so I can see this opportunity that is given to me to invite. I'm still teaching in MINDEF, Ministry of Defense. And I have course coordinators, people who coordinate my course, working in MINDEF. And I invited four of them, and they are coming next week, Friday, for the Alpha course. They are coming because they coordinate for me. And I built that relationship because every time I teach, and it's over lunchtime in the army camp, very hard to line up for food, so many soldiers, I will buy extra rice for them. And they are so touched. So when I say, will you come for my Alpha course? Yes, we will. So they are coming. You see? Then this afternoon, second service, I will have a couple sitting over there. They heard that I'm a marriage solemnizer. So this captain came to me from the Air Force. Mr. Goh, I heard you're a solemnizer. I said, yeah, but I'm not very solemn, you know. He says, I'm getting married on Armed Forces Day, 1st of July. Can you be my solemnizer? Ping! My spiritual eyes open. Here is opportunity, is now here. So I said, can. But I said, I want to meet you and discuss how to do your wedding. But I'll be speaking. I was speaking in my church on this Sunday. Will you come? He said, sure. So I'm waiting for second service to be over and I'll be meeting him downstairs. And he will be sitting for the second service. Opportunity is now here. You know, brothers and sisters, God gives you opportunities all the time. And I want to say to you, every one of us, you cannot say, God, there's no opportunity. No! There's opportunity for you. Ask God to open the spiritual eyes of yours. So this is my challenge to all of you. Two major events this year for outreach. Alpha course, the drama. So, you know, brothers and sisters, our physical bodies are temporary. You know, our physical bodies are temporary. And how do I know this? I know this because I can feel my age. In about 2 weeks' time, I will be 70 years old. Oh, 70, praise God. Every year I live, I thank God. You know, 70. You know, I suddenly realized I was old. Because last year I discovered I got trigeminal. Lord, germs, I know. Trigeminal neuralgia. I got this thing when I touch my eye, my right eye. Current, you know, right on my head here. I cannot rub my eye, I cannot touch. When the shower comes, I feel the pain. Like an electric current. It's so painful. So can you imagine, we just came yesterday, the last 2 days we were at Johor. And you know something? The shower is right on top. You know, the waterfall. But nothing happens. Nothing happens. I thank God because I've been healed in Jesus' name. Not yesterday. Praise God. Give God a praise clap. So when I got this, I was thinking, what is causing this? So I thought maybe there's something in my brain. So I went for MRI scan. And after the scan, the doctor says, you want the good news or the bad news first? I said, tell me the good news first. He says, the good news is you got brain. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. But he said, the bad news is your brain quite new. Seldom used, you know. But the truth is it nothing wrong in my brain. So I knew it's a nerve thing. So I went to see the doctor, gave me so much medicine. I look at the medicine, it's like for 6 months. But you know something, God is so good. In 4 months, I'm healed completely. Praise God. You've got a praise God on my behalf. Thank you, God. You know, so last year was my this new ledger. Then, recently, that I about 3 months ago, I had this cataract operation. No way, I have to do it because when I drive the car at night, I don't know whether it's the road or the pavement. You know, very dangerous, you know, huh? Is this the road or pavement? What? I say, I don't injure my life, more public, the life of the public. So I went, and doctor said, okay, you're a cataract, go for operation. So the 3 months I went, I do my left eye, then I do my right eye, and I wear sunglasses like James Bond, you know, huh? But now it's okay already, it's okay. Then after that, last month, I went, by the way, our eyes is just like the headlights of a motor car. So the light quite dim, battery weak. Then I went for my colonoscope and my endoscope. And that one is your exhaust pipe, you know. You also, exhaust also need to be checked, okay. Wow, Chinchoy Tai Chi. Then last week, I went, am I suddenly so swollen here, I look like a chipmunk. And discover I got teeth problem, a root canal problem. And I found out a dentist cannot do root, they have to go to a specialist, all right, to do my root. So I did my root canal. This Wednesday, I'm going back to do the second round. So I suddenly realized, I'm getting old. I just remember that day, that night, before I went to bed, I got to put my eye drop. Then I got to put my mouth gargle, a lot of extra things to do, you know. And I realized, wow, I'm getting old. But God is also teaching me to be patient. Because last time, I don't know why you women take so long in the toilet. Now I know, because you got a lot of things. Then I became more understanding. You see, God is doing something. Huh? So when I'm outside going on, inside me, I'm being renewed. The way I look at my wife and look at women. But it's also interesting. Do you know that the human body is programmed towards death? Huh? That means the baby, the moment come out, is already body programmed for death. And in the average human being, about 50 to 70 billion, not million, billion cells die each day. Turn to your neighbor, say, very depressing. Tell your neighbor, very depressing. He says that by next Sunday, you would have lost, and I, 350 billion cells to what we call programmed death. And you ask Dr. Peng, he was called, the scientific word is called apoptosis. Alright? So, we can't help this physical body. It will wear out. It will fade away. You try your best. So the story was told about a pastor who went to the doctor and said, hey, doctor, your job and my job, better. Doctor said, what do you mean? I'm a specialist, huh? And the pastor said, doctor, you are a specialist. This sick person, this patient come to you, you do all that you can. And what do? You just extend his or her life. But finally, he or she will die. Say, I got the best job. You prepare and you minister to people in this present life that he will die, like Lee Kuan Yew. He had the best doctor. Any doctor he had, but he still died. But he said, I have the best job. The pastor. So all the pastors, God bless them. They have the best job. Why? Because they take care of people to make sure where they go after death. Eternal life. Eternal life is forever and ever. So I want to say to you how important this is that you and I see these things from the spiritual perspective. From the spiritual perspective. We Christians, we see something that others don't see. We see beyond this life to a life that is to come. There's something very special about us Christians. We see that there are things and know them by faith. We see these things and we know them by faith. Apostle Paul's spiritual eyes, the scales were dropped. Remember he went blind on the gate of Damascus? And then he heard God says, Paul, why you persecute me? So when Paul received back his sight, not only does he receive back his physical sight, he received the most wonderful thing. He received back his spiritual sight. And he suddenly see the plan that God has for him. And I think this is something very, very important that you and I must remember this. There are many things that we all see in the physical, but those are temporary things. But what we need to ask God is, God, can you open my spiritual eyes to see what you want me to see? To have the eyes of Jesus Christ. So I want to say to you, sitting right here, you all may look happy, laugh at my jokes, but some of you are thinking, tomorrow don't know want to go to work or not. You don't honestly don't feel like going to work. Some of you don't feel like going home too, because you may have issues at home. You may look a bit happy and all that. But I wonder, the message I have for you today is not to lose heart. In the midst of our Christian life, there will be challenges, difficulties, troubles. And what we all need to do, Apostle Paul says, in these three verses I'm going to share with you shortly,
He described these habits as, we need to develop three spiritual habits. Number one, to focus on eternal things. To focus on our eternal purposes. And to focus on our inward man being renewed daily. Very interestingly, you know, I'm going to preach this message starting from verse 18. Starting from verse 18. Why do I want to do so? I'll explain to you. I'm doing this in reverse order. Why? Because verse 16 and 17, look at verse 16 and 17. They tell us primarily about our response to faith, to what God does for us in the midst of this trial. How should we respond when we meet trials? How should we respond when we meet tribulation? How do you respond in the midst of your illness? How do you respond that you have no work? How do you respond to this? So verse 16 and 17 tell us primarily about how we respond in faith to God, to what God does for us in the midst of this trial. But verse 18, the last verse, tells us about an act of our will, that your decision, your will, to resolve in our own hearts and in our mind to do what we must do in order to enjoy the sustaining power of the things that God does for us. And so therefore, I want us to look at verse 18 first. To put simply, if you and I will not make it a habit of life to do verse 18 when we meet our struggles and so on, then you know something? No matter what you do, you will lose heart. You will lose heart in our service to the Lord. But if we are faithful to put what it says into our regular practice, to live it, we will find that you are eventually built into a victorious hope that sustains us in time of our deepest affliction. And many of you may be going through deepest affliction, various areas in your life that you are struggling with right now. And so, the first point that you and I need, we need to focus on eternal things. So let's go back and read again, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Can you all please do that for me? Ready? One, two, read. A wonderful story found in Matthew 14, verse 22 to 32, right? And that is the story of Apostle Peter walking on water. May I have you to help me read this? Ready? Read Matthew 14, verse 22. All the guys read. Guys, ready? Read. Right. Ladies, you read for us, ladies. Ready? Read. Wonderful story about Apostle Peter, you know. As long as he focused on Jesus himself, as long as he focused on Jesus himself, he was okay. The wind is raging, the waves are big, but he focused on Jesus, he's okay. But the moment when he looked down and he saw the wind, when he saw the wind, what it means, because waves are caused by wind. And the wind was strong and the waves were big. And then he started looking down at that situation. And you know something? He sank. And he had to cry out, "The Lord, save me." And the Lord Jesus Christ saved him and rebuked him, "You of little faith." And so one of the things, first thing that we must do, we focus on eternal things, but we focus firstly on who? We focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on the eternal thing. Lord, the Lord Jesus himself. 1 Peter 1:8 said, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." This one I must put my glasses because the words are a bit small. Okay. I'm going to share with you this portion in the Bible. It talks about two persons walking on the road to Emmaus and they met Jesus. It goes like this. It says, "Story of two disciples of Jesus who was walking the road to Emmaus discussing the things that happened to their Jesus. They were talking about Jesus when the Bible tells us Jesus joined them." Jesus actually joined them. The Bible says they were kept from recognizing them. And you know what happened? These two professed that they knew Jesus, and yet they did not recognize him. They explained everything that happened to Jesus, but still they did not know who he was. And then in Luke 24, verse 30 to 32, "And when Jesus met with the disciples, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them." Verse 31 says, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then Jesus disappeared from sight." And you know, they all said to each other and says, you know, they said, were our hearts not burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? You know, brothers and sisters, maybe God gave us this story because he wants us to know that life is not just about what you think you see right in front of you. Sometimes you can see with the eyes of your heart. And their hearts were burning. Their hearts were so excited that they were able to see Jesus. So this is a challenge for you and I. Focus on the eternal thing. Another verse. Hebrews 12, verse 2 to 3. Can you read for me? 1, 2, read. So very clearly, the challenge that we fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So you focus on Jesus. Focus on who? Focus on Jesus. Now the next thing is, what is the next thing you focus? Focus on what? And the thing is, you focus on our rich inheritance. You know, and talking about inheritance, I came from a very poor family. And frankly, I do not have any material inheritance from my dad. We are so poor. My dad, he don't even leave a house for us. My dad's philosophy with 12 children, 7 girls, 5 boys. My father's philosophy is this. He says, "I produce 12 children, sure guarantee when I grow old, I can live with one of them, at least." He said, "Don't tell me I'm so unfortunate that all my 12 children will not take me in when I'm old." And my wife, that is my mother. And he was right. Because when we grow old, my father grew, and my mother grew old, and we have never had a HDB flat. My father never buy HDB flat. Everywhere we go, rented. Ran. And so, when he grew old and sickly, my two unmarried sisters, I got 7 sisters, God bless these 2 sisters, they tell all of us who are married, say, "You take care of your family. We will take care of mom and dad." And you know why they are able to say that? Because they are believers. And they tell all of us, "You don't worry, we will take care. We are single, we have no family. We will take care of mom and dad. You pay money." We'll get a maid, you pay. Mom and dad go hospital, you pay. All right? And then if mom and dad get admitted to hospital, you visit. We put duty roster. Monday who visit, Tuesday who visit. Got 12 children. Every day got people visit, no? Huh? Until the neighboring bed was so impressed.
wow, Madam Ma, every day got people. Yeah. Wow, you're so fortunate. Say, no, these are my children. Our children. Oh, so many. Ah.
So, but very poor. So, no physical inheritance. I remember vividly, before my father died, he turned to me as the eldest son. He said, Jeff, he says, I got $3,000 in my wallet, in my pants. In the, if anything happened to me, you take the money, share with your 12 brothers and sisters. I said, okay, lah, Dad, thanks. And then he died. And before he died, he also said, Jeff, I got 12 sarong, you know. My father wears sarong, like Malay, I got 12 sarong, Jeff. And when I die, Jeff, the 3,000 you share with your brothers and sisters, and the 12 sarong give everybody one, in case they miss my smell, you know. So, so we all got. And then he died. He died, I went, he's dig the, wow, so deep, you know, his pocket very deep. I got the money. I said, my brothers, we had a meeting, family meeting. Hey, father said, this $3,000 share with 12 of us. They all said, don't want, no need, lah, no need. I said, what, you want to give me? He said, no. Say, give to the grandchildren. Huh? 21 grandchildren. Divide by 12. You tell me, divide 3,000 by 12, by 21. You tell me, lah. So a few hundred dollars. And that's why, thanks be to God, my father did not leave too much of a physical inheritance. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't leave too much to your children. Tell you, no? Say, enjoy your inheritance, the children's inheritance first, which I'm doing right now. You know, but we never fight. What to fight? $3,000, why to fight? No need. It's 300 million, another story. Okay? But praise be to God, all my brothers and sisters are believers. So, it was so wonderful. So, I'm not talking. This rich inheritance is not talking about the physical inheritance. Okay? What is this rich inheritance? What is this rich inheritance the Bible talks about? Everybody read for me. 1 Peter 1, 3, 3. All the ladies read first. Ladies. I love this part where it says, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It's a spiritual inheritance. Your eyes don't see. You get to heaven, you'll see your spiritual inheritance. The guys carry on the next verse. Okay, guys, ready? Read. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. As we look at the trials, we don't look at our trials. We look at our future, eternity, that we will have this rich inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you are an accountant or you keep accounts, you have a ledger. And the ledger is a profit and loss. And you know, this person gave a fantastic illustration. Because Apostle Paul encouraged us to do our own moral and spiritual calculation. That what is on earth here available and what is available in heaven when we are faithful, we obey God. He says, take all the suffering of this life, whatever you're going through, all the pain, all the heartache, all the rejection, all the misunderstanding, all the evil that we encounter, all the hatred directed at us, all the malice that we have to endure, all the sadness, all the tears, all the sleepless nights, all the fear, all the doubt, and all the worry, and all the confusion, and all the perplexity, and all the sickness, all the broken dreams. And this writer says, you add it all up. Total it all up to whatever fantastic sum it may come to. And then add to that the sadness of every funeral that you attended for the death of someone you love. Think about all that death has taken from you. Meditate on it. Make the sum as large as you can. Place it on one side of the ledger. Then, on the other side of the ledger, you place these things. You place the Word of God, the promises of God, the love of God, the power of God, the plan of God, the wisdom of God, the kindness of God, the sovereignty of God, the grace of God. And you add to this the death of His Son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, with all His infinite transforming power towards us who believe. And then add to that the resurrection of the Son of God, who came forth from the tomb undefeated, alive from the dead, holding the keys of death and Hades in His hand, who is now declared the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Factor all that in, and then add to it the indwelling Holy Spirit, who lives in each one of us, who is a down payment of all the promises of God and the promises of our salvation. Now put that on the sum on the other side of the ledger. You do the figuring. He says here, which is greater? Your sorrows, your vast and immeasurable, your sorrows, or the vast and immeasurable promises of God made in His Word, guaranteed by the Spirit and purchased for us in the death and resurrection of the Lord. You know, if you ask Apostle Paul, this side of the ledger, all the suffering, the shipwreck, the whatever he went through, and the other side, all the promises of God and all that God gives, Apostle Paul, don't need to ask him. He already know the answer. Because Apostle Paul will choose the eternal glory that he wants. We will soon receive an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The various translations said in a different way. But you know, King James Version says, you know, about this eternal glory, not just exceeding, not just more exceeding. But James says, but far more exceeding. And I like that. That is life. Life on this earth can be so painful and so baffling. And you know, but yet, there's so much joy in our hearts when we see that the glory of God is coming. It's far more exceeding and far outweigh whatever you and I have to go through. And that is the second reason why we never give up. Brothers and sisters, never give up. Never give up. You will go through various stress, strains, and all the troubles that you and I face on this earth. You know, can you imagine Winston Churchill when he became Prime Minister? We just came from a leadership seminar, retreat. And when I think of Winston Churchill, as someone that we can see, we didn't see Apostle Paul, but we see Winston Churchill. And during World War II, when Hitler was conquering the whole of Europe except England, and Hitler brought his generals from across the English Channel, he talked to his Air Force general, and he said, "That country, England, I want to conquer." And Hermann Göring, who is the chief of the Air Force, says, "No problem, sir. We will bomb the Londoners. We just focus on London. We bomb them day and night for 1 month. They will go on their knees and they will surrender." And so they did. 2,000 bombers went over, unload tons and tons of bombs over them, boom, boom, at night. The people huddle and hide in their tunnel, MRT tunnel, their subway. And at night, the King of England, Winston Churchill, went on BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, and encouraged them, said, "Don't give up, don't give up." In the morning, when the German bombers were back, the King, and Winston Churchill was there, comforting the people, speaking to them, encouraging them. And so the Hermann Göring bombed London for one whole month, but the British never gave up. So many years after the war, Winston Churchill became his role, and then one day Cambridge University invited Winston Churchill to come to speak to the graduating students in Cambridge. And he was late, 45 minutes late. The students all, you know, "Where is this old man? Where is he? Why is he so late?" Finally, he came. And the master of ceremony said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is our Prime Minister, Sir Winston Churchill." Winston Churchill went on the stage, looked at the graduates, and he says, "Never!" That wake up some people here. "Never, never!
Never. Never. Never, never. Give up. Thank you.
The graduate said, like that, yeah. Alamak, we waited 3 hours.
But that is the message everybody remembered. He was remembered. Many messages, speech he gave. They only remembered it. He said, never, 7 times. Never, 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 never. Give up. Finish.
Turn to your neighbor and say, never give up. I see your face like giving up already.
You know, very interesting. There's a rich inheritance. Never give up. There is a rich inheritance. 2 Timothy 4:6-8, therefore I'm already poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who long for his appearing. Are you longing for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the reason for those who long, come Lord, come. Longing for the coming of the Lord. Second coming. So we have talked about the what and so on. And now the third thing I want to share with you is to focus on the future glorification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, 1 to 4 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Seated on the right throne of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For he died, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then he will appear with you. You will also appear with him in glory. In glory. You know, I attended a walk through the Bible course one day, and I remember Bruce Wilkinson, the teacher who wrote the series Walk Through the Bible, and he said, what is all this, the purpose of our life? Why do you have children? Why do you have your job? Why are you a pastor? Why? And we all think, 101 reasons. And he says, everything that you and I do is to glorify God. So very simple. Everybody asks you, why are you a pastor? I'm a pastor because I want to glorify God. Why are you a parent? I want to glorify God. Why are you an accountant? I want to glorify God. So you and I have this very fantasy that when we will enjoy future glorification with God, with Jesus. You know? Now I want to talk to you. What for? Why we do? Just now we are talking about who. But today I'm going to talk to you. Why we need to go through trials and suffering and trouble. For what? What for? You know? And verse 17 now says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For our light and momentary troubles. You know something? Many of the things that happen in your life, my life, we don't understand. I don't understand. Why I got called into the army? I'm a happy teacher. 1965, I joined a teaching profession. I taught 2 schools. And then I was teaching primary 6. So I really, and I was very clear in my mind to be a school principal. There are a few school principals here. To be a school principal. Very sure. And I remember 1969, my 5th year as a teacher during the school vacation. There are thousands of teachers. And they picked Jeffrey Goh to go for a 22-day outward bound school course. Now everybody go holiday. Jeffrey Goh, they sent me for torture chamber, you know, torture chamber. Outward bound school course. You know what's about outward bound school course? No? I tell you, you never go through so much suffering, you know. I don't know why. Why you choose me? Oh, I'm very angry. But I tell you, you know, every morning cross country, evening cross country. Just run and run and run. When we do obstacle course, we do rowing, we do sailing, we do survival skills, I tell you that 22 days, I was so exhausted. Then, I said, thank God, over. So it was during the Christmas season. After Christmas, I received a very officious looking letter from the Ministry of Defense.
And the letter said, "Dear sir, we are pleased to call you up for national service." And they were very pleased and nearly died. Hey, I teacher, you know, happy teacher, want to be school principal. Why you call me up for national service? Huh? And that was in 19, we are going to, all of you NS men, including uncle here, I am NS men, okay? And we are going to receive $100 voucher from Cheng Hu because we are celebrating 50 years of NS. I don't know what kind of voucher they give. I hope they give me the NTUC unfair price voucher, you know. So I don't understand why. Because in the early days, 1967, they started national service. And NS men in the early days, I tell you, they're really the paikia, you know. The early NS men, they're all, they're gangsters, you know, Kong Pui, San Lakau, GC, you know. They are murderers, rapists, molester, you name it, like King David's men. they were told by the police, you go jail or go army. Army. So they go army. So in the early days, of course, the soldiers, this Hokkien, we call them Hokkien Peng, they don't understand English. But officers teach what? English, English, talk, their face like that. And then Dr. Goh went to visit one camp, and all the soldiers there. At the end of the day, Dr. Goh said, yo, come here. You understand what officer teach? Sir, he comes to me, Liabokyu are you? Dr. Goh worried, they're going to shoot their friend. So he make a momentous decision to change, that change Jeffrey Goh's course. Here, want to be school principal. Sir Kali Goh NS. So I still remember 1970, so sad, you know, went to CMPB. My mother sent me. As I climbed the tree tunnel to move away, you know, I cried, my mother cried, like going for execution, you know. I tell you, I was angry with God, man. I was so angry. Huh? You sent me for for our bound school court. Now you sent me in the army. Why? I want to be a teacher, God. I love teaching. God said, Jeffrey, go. What is now what you see, temporary only. I got bigger plans for you. So I went, basic training. But, you know, God is so good. I decided, and most important, I was fit. The outward bound school was preparing me for national service. I outrun everybody. I jump, I do what? And my officer, my corporal, look at me. Are you, which is on very good. Attitude very good. Put up my hand, answer every question. Help carry table, carry chair, carry water, all. And after 3 months, I was selected as the best recruit in my company. Best recruit. Don't pray. And what was my reward? They convert me to be combat soldier. So all my friends become language instructor. Teach English to Hokkien Peng. Aircon room, teach English. Jeffrey Goh, K Kiang, best recruit, running up and down the hill. They all laugh. Hey, Jeffrey Goh, K Kiang, tell them. Everybody please tell me. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is great. Tell your neighbor. But because I was in combat, they sent me for officer cadet school. So after 1.5 years, Jeffrey Goh becomes second lieutenant Jeffrey Goh. My friend, corporal. My friend see me, Monica. I say, good morning. Now who, Kee Kiang? But I want to say, why I tell you all this story? I want to say to you, our trouble, light and momentary troubles. And the other thing is, after 3 years NS, I say, hey, actually the army not bad. No, I teach primary six children. I crack joke, they don't laugh, you know. Now, 18, 19, I crack joke, they laugh. But no, I enjoy teaching young men. So I sign on. I never go back teaching. I carry on, and God is so good. I retire at 45. If I were a school principal, 62. Can you imagine the difference? 45, retire, got pension every month, don't work, collect money. Not bad, man. Your money, your taxes, you know. I say, God, you are so good to me, God. But at that point, when I was going through all the suffering, running around, thinking, why am I in this? But God said, Jeff, your eyes have not seen what I'm doing in your life, Jeff. So I want to say to you, God is so good. And you know, even as we go through this momentary trial, there's this wonderful thing from life, you know. Why is God doing this to me? Says your problem, your issues right now is very light. The wonderful thing is the glory of God. I consider that my present suffering, Apostle Paul says, are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. And this is what we all must see. All your temporary trials, your suffering is this. There is something more weighty. There is something so great. And that is the glory of God. It is the glory of God. In exchange for that little suffering. Because our present sufferings are light, but God's glory is weighty. And our eternal glory, the eternal weight of the glory of God. Another reason why must we go through all this? Why? You know, from the momentary to the eternal. 1 Peter 5:10 says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. What a wonderful assurance. Why do we need to go through this suffering? And let me tell you this. No suffering is there's a reason. There's no suffering for fun. No? No, there is a purpose. Why do we need to do this? And then we need to also focus on the eternal purpose of our sufferings and so on. The third one is we focus on that we move from the affliction, that you and I go through, to glory in God. Let me share with you this letter. This letter was written by a Southern Baptist missionary to Iraq. Her name is Karen Watson. Prior to leaving for the Middle East, she wrote this letter to her pastors. This letter was dated March the 7th, year 2003. And 2003, she wrote this letter. It says, "Dear Pastor Phil and Pastor Roger, you should only be opening this letter in the event of my death. When God calls, there are no regrets. I tried to share my heart with you as much as possible. My heart for the nations. I wasn't called to a place. I was called to Him. To obey was my objective. To suffer was expected. For His glory, my reward. His glory, my reward." God's glory is her reward. See, one of the most important things she said in the letter is to remember right now is to preserve the work. And she says, "I'm writing this as if I'm still working with the people group that I'm with. I thank you all so much for all your support, prayers. Surely your reward in heaven will be great. Thank you for investing in my life and spiritual well-being. Keep sending missionaries out. Keep raising up fine young pastors." And then she said, "In regards to any service, keep it small, keep it simple. Yes, simply just preach the gospel. Be bold and preach the life-saving, life-changing, forever eternal gospel. Give glory and honor to our Father." She wrote this letter 2003, and in March 15, 2004, 1 year later, she died. Karen was killed along with four other missionaries on March 15, 2004. You're talking about your troubles? Here is someone who knowingly, willingly, eyes wide open, but she see the spiritual. And she was willing to give her life. You know, so we are very encouraged by this. So how about you and I? How? Now we address the third thing. The third habit, the focus on our inward man being renewed daily. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." You know, when I finish first service, I'll be here but for the second service. Then this afternoon, 4:30, I will be in Fuchao Methodist Church preaching a gospel message. If you were to ask me whether I'm tired or not, God only knows how tired I am. No, honestly. It's no joke standing here preaching the word. No joke. In fact, preaching my own church, I got more nervous, you know. Every time I look at the senior pastor, whether he's not, he's here. For me, that means okay. Yeah. You know? I'm more nervous. Outside, no, never mind. I preach one time, if I do bad, they never call me again. Okay. But you know, I'm very tired. You won't know. My outside,
My external is wasting away. I'm tired. But you know something? If today I preach the gospel message, one soul come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. One. In Fu Chau Methodist Church. My spirit is renewed. I will say, it's worth it. I'm tired, but it's worth it. And that is a spirit man in you. Why you think at my age, 70 years old, I still struggle on running? Next week, Friday, every Friday I'll be here, 10 weeks, to help in the Alpha course. Tired? Not sure, lah, tired. But you know, all my tiredness is my outside. But the inside, every time I see a soul come to know the Lord, by the third Alpha, by the third session, there are 10 sessions, third, they say, I'm ready to receive Christ. I tell you, the energy inside me, the joy inside me just drives me on. So when you know, it's something that if you focus on your external, you never do anything for it. And I know the secret of how to retire. Serve the Lord. Because every time you serve and serve, inside you is renewed. Serve and serve, inside you. Or outside, wasting away, more wrinkles, and so on. But inside, renewed. And that's how I want to grow old. Being renewed day by day. My physical body is outside. It's okay. I take more vitamin pills. This morning I take vitamin pills. So that I got more energy. I take magnesium so that I don't get cramp. You know, standing a whole day, old man cramp, you know. You happy, sit down there. You know. But, you know, the wonderful thing. The inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. We are already being made eternal. Do you know that we are already made eternal? Those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are already made eternal. We are living now in eternity already. We don't have to die. We are already in eternity. We are already made eternal. Because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." So one of the things that keeps you and I going, we focus on things ahead. And my message to Fu Chau this afternoon is hope. Is hope. And we must have hope, brothers and sisters. Even as we look forward, how? Always look forward to things that is ahead. Philippians 3:13-18 says, brothers and sisters, I do consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straight forward towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on. I press on. And Apostle Paul said, all of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too will God will make clear to you. Only, and you say, verse 16 says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. And that is eternal life. And he carries on. Verse 17 says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Good examples, models, people who model for you. But as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. And your job, my job, is to keep the number of enemies of the cross as low as possible. To win them for Jesus Christ. So they become friends of the cross. And that should be your objective, my objective. And this is why we all must evangelize. This is why we must bring people for our Alpha course. This is why we must bring people for our drama. Because there are so many enemies of the cross. We want to be friends of the cross. If you can see that, then there's something will well up inside you. And as you go office tomorrow, university tomorrow, you see this person in the coffee shop, and you... God will open your spiritual eyes. So how? How is the life of Christ manifested in our mortal bodies? How? And then I'm ending. It says here, the life of Christ is manifested this way. Second Corinthians verse 4, verse 7 to 11 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Our body is like earthen jar. Very fragile. You know, the jars of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side. We are not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10 says, we always carry around in our bodies
the death of Jesus, so that the life of Christ may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are being made great, are always being given over to death for Christ's sake, so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So, brothers and sisters, you know, if you forget everything that I share with you today, you know, we went to the leaders' retreat yesterday, the last few days, and our speaker, Sam, shared with us, and he says, you know, every Sunday when he attends first service, I think he's somewhere here, he says when he go back home at around lunchtime, he take out his book, and he will write just one, two sentences of what he learned today. And I know today he'll be writing, therefore, do not lose heart. Focus on the eternal. Don't lose heart. Focus on the eternal. All your problems and trials that you go through, that I go through in this life, is temporary. It's for a little while. He says, you really? I'm at the breaking point already. Just one more trigger and I'm finished, man. Yeah. God knows. You think God doesn't know? God knows. And that's why you're here listening to this message today. You may have a relationship that is already breaking down. Your marriage. Your relationship with your boss, your colleague, your mother-in-law. You know, you have. Some of you are in illness, and you are at the verge of giving up. Some of you have financial problems. See, how going to resolve it? How going to get this money to settle this? And you're thinking, you may have a wayward husband, wayward children, and you think he's struggling. But you know what the Bible says? You know what Apostle Paul tells to you and I right now? He says, do not do harm. Therefore, knowing that you will focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is there to help you, you do not lose heart. Focus on the eternal. Let us stand. And I believe that God is speaking to everyone right now. And even as we sing this closing song, you will sing it from your heart. And you, those of us who are going through all kinds of struggles, challenges, and so on, just sing this from your heart, like you are speaking to God. And then when the Holy Spirit has touched you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you need to be ministered to, just come. Just come forward and be ministered. Because this is an altar. God is here. He wants to hear. He wants to comfort you. He wants to encourage you. Let us sing this song.
Your eye is on the sparrow, and your hand, it comforts me. From the end of the earth to the depths of my heart, let your mercy and strength receive.
Come, brothers and sisters, just come.
Me to your,
don't go through one more day of suffering. Come and here and be delivered. Come here and be encouraged.
For your glory, may you draw all men as your love and grace be mine. Yes, I will run.
Come and live in the glory of the grace of God. God's grace is available here. Just come. Don't stand one more day in your difficulties, in your trials, whatever you're going through. No, one more day. Come and be ministered to. Because you want to live by the glory of God. His grace is available here today. Just come as we continue to sing.
You call me to.
your glory, may you draw all men as your love and grace demand. Yes, I will run to you, to your words of truth, and not by might, and not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run.
Before we end the service, if you need prayer, as I close the service, make a way out. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that in you we have eternal purpose. In you, we know that this 100 years of life that we have over here does not come to an end, but you have given us that meaning to live on forever and ever and ever. For those who know you for who you are, for those who have received your forgiveness, and for that we give you thanks. Lord, help us to live every day with that vision for eternity. Help us to live every day knowing that it will count forever. So Lord, we ask that as we depart from this place, send us forth with that vision, send us forth with that knowledge, and send us forth with your love. Help us and send us to places that even need that love, that we can share of what you have done, of this eternal promise that you've given to us. So Lord, as we depart from here, send us forth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Has you got a hand? Thank you, the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the altar is still open. If you need prayer, come to the front. If not, we'll see you next week. Goodbye, and God bless.